Join me in prayer. Gracious and good God, help our souls to pant for you this morning. As we open your word, as we hear it proclaimed, as we center ourselves on your gospel, give us wisdom, direct our steps according to who you are. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Elise, can you switch to my computer? Thank you. All right, we are in, now we're making this big movement in our discipleship path to a movement, to the second big movement in that, and that is the growing in our relationship. Remember, over the last 4 weeks, actually, we've really tried to flesh out what it means to connect to Jesus, what that means for us as believers, people who maybe have been sitting in these pews for most, if not all, of our lives, and what that means for people who might come into our midst. How can we be a community that welcomes them and invites others as well? And so now, as we move on to this second piece of this path of discipleship, this path after connecting people to Jesus, we move into what it means to grow in our relationships, and we'll eventually come to this idea of what it means to serve our communities. But as we kind of hone in and focus in on this idea of growing in our relationships, we have to keep in mind that this idea of growing in our relationship has kind of a twofold sort of throng to it, if you will. A couple of weeks ago, I presented to you this idea about prayer and how prayer is very much a vertical dimension, right? That one that goes straight up to God, all of it goes up to God, but one that focuses on how we affect and engage our relationship with God, but it also has this horizontal sort of level where we sort of pray for the people around us as well. And this is very much sort of the tact we have to take when we ask the question what it means to grow in our relationships as well. There's first and foremost a vertical dimension, a vertical relationship that we have to grow in as well. That is, we have to develop and cultivate our relationship with the Lord as our vertical, the primary vertical relationship in our life. We also have to engage each other and cultivate relationships within the church as well and in within our communities. So there's a twofold aspect of what it means to grow in our relationships as disciples of Jesus as well. And so today we as I mentioned, we zero in on what it means to grow in our relationships, and we really kind of hone that down by focusing kind of on that first arrow that I had up there, this picture of the vertical relationship, right? How do we encounter God in our lives on a regular basis? And this is really important. This is a fundamental, a foundational question to be asking as we grow in our relationships and grow in our relationship first and foremost with the Lord. And Psalm 42 gives us a good picture of kind of what that looks like. It really, really fleshes out some very interesting pictures of what that is for us as believers, or those who maybe are trying to just deepen our life with Christ. Verses 1 and 2 show us this picture of a deep longing that the psalmist has for their relationship with the Lord. And here's the thing, you can't have a longing for someone without having a prior relationship with them, or something welling up inside that is sort of that desire, that need within you, right? Right? Longing comes from a relationship more often than not. And this is very much the picture that we get here in Psalm 42. And relationships are interesting because, as most of us know who interact with anybody in our lives, you know that relationships have to be worked at. For years, as I was finishing my seminary, even after we moved out here to Alberta, which is a little over 4 years ago, I still had great opportunities to be able to see my family on a pretty regular basis. I would fly back to Grand Rapids at least twice a year, sometimes three and four times, as I was sort of wrapping up the end of my seminary career. And I was able, on those visits, to sort of carve out some time to visit with my mom and dad and occasionally see my brother as well. But I'm kind of realizing now that I'm done with seminary and trying to lead a church that I don't make it back to Grand Rapids or Michigan in general as much as I used to. And I kind of realized this week, man, you know, as I think about this longing in relationship, I'm kind of missing my family a little bit. I haven't seen them as much as I used to. And it's really interesting that when you have a relationship in your life and when it's taken away or you don't get to engage it that often, that is really when you begin to feel that longing that you have for that person, that individual, or those individuals in your life. I think I kind of felt that a bit this week with my family as I was thinking about this. And this is a bit of the picture that we see here in Psalm 42. The psalmist has been removed from God's presence, or at least removed from the temple for whatever reason. Some people believe that this psalm was written during the exile, or maybe during one of David's war campaigns, or something to that effect. Whatever the case might be, the psalmist has this deep desire, this deep longing to be in God's presence, and he can't because God's presence was very much in Jerusalem, was very much centered in the temple. And the psalmist missed that presence of God. Now, today we don't have a temple. This church is not a temple. We don't have a temple which God's presence rests in per se, except for ourselves, right? There's an image of God that's stamped on each and every one of us. And Paul calls us the now temple of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's very much what sort of wells up sometimes that unknown or unacknowledged desire in us to seek or want to be in relationship with God and hear his voice. So this is the so important thing for us to center in on, to sort of answer that cry of relationship that the psalmist creates here in Psalm 42. Now, this relationship, this picture of who God is and how he has revealed himself is now made most clearly through Jesus, who is revealed in his word. And we see that sort of pointed to in verse 8, where the psalmist talks about this song that is within him, this desire, this internalization of God and his word inside of him. And Jesus now is that revealed word that is living inside of us even here today through his spirit. And we see one more thing that the psalmist points to as well in verse 8. He says, He says, these become a prayer to the God of my life. And so we see two things here that the psalmist seems to be pointing at. A way in which we can sort of engage that internal longing, that internal desire to cultivate this relationship that we have for the Lord. We see a desire to engage with God through His Word, and we know that to be through Jesus Christ, His revealed Word, but also through prayer. Two basic disciplines, two basic pictures of how we can engage God in our lives, even still today. Scripture and prayer. Now, as I mentioned, Jesus is the fullest revelation of who God is. Colossians 1:15 and verse 19 says that the fullness of God's divinity was revealed in Jesus Christ through His person and work. Right? The fullness of divinity dwelled bodily in Jesus. Now, I want you to know that in order for me to convey that idea for you, though, I had to quote Scripture in order to convey this picture to you. So in order to know who God is and how He has revealed Himself and how we can build that relationship with Him, and how that comes through Jesus more specifically, we have to know Jesus through the Scriptures. We have to be a people that are committed to digging into and centering ourselves on the Scriptures, the means through which God has revealed Himself through Jesus in this world. Now, it's interesting, in the world today, never has the Bible been more accessible to us as a people, and yet never as well have we been more ignorant or ignorant of its teachings. Let me ask you this morning. Have you ever heard the phrase, God helps those who help themselves? Now, I don't know if you know this or not, or if you've thought this, but that this is one of the Proverbs that you find in the book of Proverbs. Maybe you've thought that. Or maybe you knew that it's actually not in the book of Proverbs, but you've thought to yourselves, this is one of the primary teachings of the Scriptures. Right? Maybe you've thought it that way. Well, if that's what you have thought at some point in your life, then you're one with 75% of Americans who were questioned about this, whether or not this was either a primary teaching of the Bible or actually found in the Bible. 75% of Americans who were asked this said, yes, it is a primary or one of the main themes of Scripture. In fact, some of them thought that it was found in Scripture. Well, I want to assure you this morning that it is not found in Scripture. This is not a proverb in the book of Proverbs, if I didn't mention that. And it's not a main theme of the Scriptures as well. This is a quote that it didn't originate with him, but he made it famous, and that it was made famous by Benjamin Franklin in the 1700s in his little farmer almanacs that he used to print every year. Here's the thing. If you were in the Scriptures regularly, you would likely know that this is not, in fact, a main theme of the Bible, or that it's found in the Bible. In fact, if you were in the scriptures regularly, you would understand that this statement is actually an exact contradiction of the main message of grace that we see throughout the scriptures. And it's a contradiction to the gospel message itself. Because what does the gospel message say? The gospel says that we are sinners in need of mercy, in need of grace. We are sinners who have offended a holy, good, and just God. And it doesn't matter how much we try to help ourselves by good deeds and right behavior, we cannot bridge the gap to make it back to right relationship with the God who created us. Knowing this, God the Father sent God the Son, Jesus Christ, to live the life we were called to live, to take our sin and die the penalty that we deserved on the cross, and being buried, rising to life 3 days later. This is the basic gospel message. It's not about us helping ourselves. It's about how God came to help us. It's the exact opposite of this famous quote. And we only get that. We only get that if we turn in faith and follow Jesus, and we only cement that message in our minds by engaging with God consistently and constantly through His Word, through His special revelation, which He has most widely revealed who He is through the person and work of Jesus. Now, not only do we have to cultivate our relationship with God through, we have to encounter Him through the Scriptures, but a wonderful way in which, a biblical way in which we can encounter Him as well is through prayer. The importance of prayer almost goes without saying as we think about it. Prayer is in many ways a direct line, a direct link where we can connect to God. It's a way in which we encounter God in a real personal way in our lives. 40% of Canadians, when they were polled, actually say that they engage in some sort of prayer, while infrequently. 40% of people who were surveyed said that they prayed at least once a month, right? Fairly infrequent, but it's kind of a big number. I was actually a little surprised by that. 20% of people say that they pray daily. Of those 47%, 20% of them say that they pray daily. And that is actually kind of encouraging, right? Because if prayer is as important as we say it is, right? If it is that direct link, that direct line to connecting or encountering God in our lives on a daily basis, then it's something we have to cultivate in our lives on a regular basis. Right? Throughout the Gospels, we see many, many different points where, in spite of everything that was happening around Him, in spite of these crowds that would often crowd Him, keep Him up probably till all hours of the night, right? In spite of all of that, Jesus found times often throughout the Gospels to set aside time to pray and engage or encounter God in this personal, meaningful way. And so as disciples of Jesus, as those who claim to follow Him, that we too have to take time regularly, if not daily, to cultivate a life of prayer. Prayer is just this beautiful opportunity for us to rest in God's presence. It's an opportunity for us to connect to Him. It's an opportunity for us to lay our burdens, our difficulties before Him and trust that He is good and faithful and will help us in the midst of that. It's an opportunity for us to be illuminated by Him, to see the world in a whole new life. And so regular prayer in our lives and regular engagement with the Scripture are two disciplines that we as Christians need to make a part of our life if we are going to encounter God as disciples of Jesus. Disciples are called to these practices. Why? Because these are the practices in which God engages with us in the most ordinary and regular fashions. Now these are called disciplines, right? And disciplines are not always easy. They're not always convenient. And quite frankly, sometimes they're not even fun. But when we engage in regular discipline, we train ourselves and we cultivate things in our lives that we wouldn't normally do. I don't know about you, but I hate gardening. I do. I'm not a gardener. Not at all. But this is the joy of being married to someone who likes to garden. And in order for me to sort of engage that relationship so I can have good encounters with my dear wife, I suffer through gardening every now and then. I do. I find myself out there plucking weeds, probably more often than not just sitting on the sidelines watching her garden, but I'm there, I'm present, I'm helping as much as possible. It's not something I would normally do, not something I would be excited to do at all, but I discipline myself to do that so that I can cultivate that relationship with my wife. So bearing these two practices in mind, regular engagement with the Scriptures and daily prayer as Christians, as followers of Christ, I want to close by getting real practical with what I think this means as we walk the path of discipleship here at First CRC. I want to engage this by first just asking two questions. What does your prayer life look like as a follower of Jesus? And how often are you reading or engaging in God's Word? You think about this. If I only engaged in this relationship with my wife, if I only plugged in and asked her questions, you know, had conversations with her once a week, right, that would not be a very good relationship that I had in my life. It certainly would not be a deep relationship. It wouldn't be even one of the best relationships that I had in my life if I only did that every now and then or once a week. I mean, I might have a relationship, but it certainly would not be top priority. And that is exactly what we are called to do with our faith. See, our faith, our relationship with God through Jesus is meant to be the relationship in our life that is number one priority. And everything else kind of flows from outside of that. That is the beauty of what we are called to do as disciples of Christ. We're called to encounter God through Scripture, through regular prayer, through disciplines that train us to set our minds on the things that are above. And so here's the ask as disciples of Christ. This is what I want to encourage you and ask you to do. Can you, as a disciple of Christ, Look around your house. Find a nice, comfortable chair. A nice place where you can set your Bible. Not be disturbed for 15 minutes a day to be engaged in regular reading of Scripture and prayer. Now, I hope that we could do a lot more than that, right? I would hope that all of us could be like super saints, like Martin Luther, and spend 2 to 3 hours every single day in prayer and Scripture, right? But I'm also a realist, and you have lives to live and things to do, and I think you can encounter God throughout those things as well. But can you center yourself on God's word and prayer in the morning if you're a morning person? Can you wake up? Can you bust open your Bible, read 4 or 5 verses and reflect on those? Slowing down, asking questions, seeing what words hit you in different ways. Can you pray for the disconnected in your life? Right? Those people we thought of 4 weeks ago, those 5 people whom we wrote down and are praying for by name. Can you do that each and every day? Here's the thing. If you slow down as you engage Scripture in slow chunks, you will see things that you never have seen before. And you'll begin to understand more about the Bible than you may ever have. And if you are consistent in prayer, doing this daily, you'll be amazed at how you notice God working in your life. Keep a journal. Write down those prayers. Write those things down that you've been praying for and see if God answers those prayers. You would be amazed if only 15 minutes in the Word and in prayer each and every day. I want to encourage you to find that favorite chair in your house and park in the morning or in the evening if you're not a morning person. Find a spot when things are calm in the evening. It doesn't matter. What matters is our willingness as disciples of Jesus Christ to engage God, to encounter Him each and every day, to make that a priority, to cultivate that relationship just as we would cultivate any relationship in our lives. Let's come to the Lord in prayer.